Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. And now we'll wrap up the short crowdsourcing project we've been doing this week in collaboration with our friends at the local news website DNA Info, asking you to look into how city council members are spending their discretionary funds. DNA Info got their hands on a full spreadsheet of every so-called member item, all 4,865 spending allocations by all 52 city council members, listing funds distributed for all sorts of community causes from a few hundred dollars to many thousands. And remember, these are the discretionary items. And that means what it means. These are the items that the council doesn't vote on, that any individual member of council can choose to spend our tax dollars on without going through other channels. And there are some formulas for what general categories they have to spend some of the money in. But this has been controversial in the past because corruption has been discovered in the way some of this money has been handled. Mayor de Blasio wanted to ban these discretionary funds or member items altogether. City Council decided not to do that, arguing that they are closest to their communities, community organizations. So this should persist in some form as it has. So DNA Info got the spreadsheet. We opened it up. We invited you to add your notes about what caught your eye to any one of the city council members' lists. Call it crowdsourced fiscal transparency. Hundreds of you participated. Thank you. And so we will follow up briefly with Jeff Mays, political reporter for DNA Info, who helped us introduce the segment on Monday. Hi, Jeff. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks.
And I hope you had a blissful few days of data mining.
I did. I was digging deep.
Want to just kick it off by talking about anything that newly caught your eye from the comments that our crowd added?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of the interesting stuff, just a couple of interesting items. The council speaker herself, she has, I believe her district has the highest concentration of public housing in the country. So, she gave a total of $16,000 to more than 17 different public housing resident associations, so anywhere from $500 to $1,500. And I think that's probably stuff like for their family days, for, little events that they have. But it was just the sheer number that she gave, so it was 17 different groups that each got a little bit of money. Another item I found particularly interesting is the Bodega Association of the United States. This is a group that was kind of against both the Bloomberg soda ban efforts and also against efforts to increase the age to buy tobacco up to 21. So they made out pretty well. They got a total of $35,500 from five different council members. And, the purpose of it, as stated, is to kind of hire staff to do like a survey of bodegas in some districts. That's in Margaret Chen's district. She gave them $3,500 to do a survey of the needs of bodega owners in the district. So, I mean, that seems like a very interesting use of taxpayer dollars.
Right. And the line on that describes what it's for, we have that here, says funds will be utilized to hire part-time staff to recruit, train, deploy, and supervise a team of interns to map and survey bodegas in Council District 1 and to support intern stipends.
Right.
So that sounds interesting. And I don't know that we uncovered any scandals here, but a number of people pointed out that not every item got an explanation like the one we just read for what the money would be used for. So, for instance, line 72 of the spreadsheet shows that Councilmember Arroyo from the Bronx gave $5,000 to the Committee for Hispanic Children and Families, Inc. for anti-poverty measures, but no further explanation. And I'm not sure that a further explanation is needed, but to one listener, that was worth pointing out how thin that seemed. And this, not to single out that group or that council member, but is there a requirement under the new member item structure to flesh out to a certain degree what the money will be used for?
I mean, the majority of the items, you know, do have some details listed on what they're specifically for. But when you look at the, what is it, the United Hispanic Federation, I mean, those are the types of programs they do, anti-poverty. So, you know, you can imagine that money is either going to fund some of their very specific programs or to help fund staff. So, you know, there are groups that just do certain things, and that's what they do. It's anti-poverty. So, you know, I mean, I think you can figure out specifically, you know, what types of things the money is going for. So that didn't really set off any red flags for me. But I think, you know, the majority of the items do have some explanation on them on specifically what they're being used for.
And in general, to my eye, they were fairly detailed in terms of how they're going to be used. A few listeners pointed out that some of the beneficiaries were city agencies, like the Department of Sanitation got money from Councilmember Karen Kusiewicz of Queens. Don't city agencies get their funding through the city government? They can also apply for individual member items from city council?
Well, yeah, I think that there are certain council people who have identified certain issues that they'd like to address. Like Councilmember Ulrich in Queens, you know, he gave, I believe, $25,000 for a graffiti removal program. A listener pointed that out. But if you look at the rest of his allocations, he was very, seemed to be very focused on cleanup in his district. He gave $18,000 for Department of Parks and Recreation for tree stump removal. He gave another $30,000 to the Department of Sanitation for those sort of high capacity litter baskets. And then he gave another $51,000 to the Department of Sanitation to install litter baskets along Jamaica Avenue. So it just seems like, you know, there are specific issues. Maybe he's hearing from his constituents that it's filthy and, you know, needs to be cleaned up. And, you know, of course, you go to sanitation, oh, we don't have money for that. Well, here's some money.
Here's another interesting one, $11,000 to Friends of Brooklyn Community Board 6, Inc. There's a general name, Friends of Brooklyn Community Board 6, Inc., quote, to support a study of the Gowanus Canal and the surrounding industrial area. And a commenter wrote, are they pro or against development in Gowanus? And we don't know the answer, but it's an interesting glimpse into the mechanics of how big decisions get made, right? Development in Gowanus is a huge issue. And if this group with a vague name gets a little bit of money to make a report, and that report comes down way or one way or another, that kind of seems like it might be political rather than a community group.
Well, I had a chance to talk to our Brooklyn reporter, and it seems like that group has not really taken a position yet on development around the canal. What's happening is there have been a lot of complaints from local people who feel like the project, you know, there hasn't been a lot of discussion. So what they're hoping to do with this is to study what's going on, you know, what are the possibilities around the canal, come up with some ideas that can work, answer some questions like what's going to be the environmental toll of digging near the canal, that sort of thing. So the council member in that district, Brad Lander, has, you know, launched a bunch of community planning meetings. So in some ways, you know, you could look at that as a good thing, as just a study to see, you know, what should happen around there if the study's done properly.
This is WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO Toms River. It's New York and New Jersey Public Radio, as we spend a few minutes with Jeff Mays, political reporter for the New York City local news website DNA Info, looking at the spreadsheet that they got, and we did a crowdsourcing project with you this week, looking potentially at every single discretionary spending item that every city council member in New York can is giving away taxpayer money for without city council having to take a vote or anyone else really looking over their shoulder. One of the things that jumped out at me and that jumped out at some of our listeners was the huge spread of the size of the grants. So some grants were very small, $1,000, whatever. Some grants were in the six figures. And so did you discover that there are some council members who give a lot of money to a very few organizations and decide that that's the way they want to do it or that's the way they're going to have the biggest impact in their communities, and some like to spread it around more with lots of little grants?
Well, I mean, I think it definitely is an issue of personal style and also need. If you talk to many of these nonprofits, they know, you know, this is a major source of funding for many of them. They know when to go to the council person to, you know, get their request in and to get in the process. So it just really depends on, like, what the council person is trying to accomplish. If they're trying to just spread the money around so everyone feels included, they can do a bunch of little grants. I think Lori Cumbo in Brooklyn, you know, was one who did, like, a bunch of little grants. And then you have some others that, you know, are targeting some bigger projects like Ulrich, like I said, you know, a lot of his money went to cleanup issues.
And also in Brad Lander's district, one thing that stood out to somebody was $31,000 for the Prospect Park Alliance. And, you know, somebody was asking why so much money from one council person. Aren't there various districts that abut Prospect Park? How much does everyone else put in? And a few other council members, we looked it up, do give to the Prospect Park Alliance, but only in the $5,000 or $10,000 range. And so we reached out to Lander's office, who pointed out that while other council members have communities served by the park, his is the only district that contains the entire park. So it's just one of those things where, I guess, if your district happens to have Prospect Park in it, it's up to you to get the funding for it, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at the list, there are a lot of items like that across the city. Like, you'll see the Legal Aid Society get, you know, money from numerous council members, Lincoln Center. So a lot of these organizations, they're providing programs and distinct programs in different districts. So it makes sense that, you know, a councilman in Brooklyn would want to fund the Lincoln Center program for elementary kids the same way that a councilman in the Bronx would want to fund that program.
Right. And, you know, then I guess another question is sort of anti-poverty versus the arts. And you hate to pit those against each other, but somebody wasn't thrilled about an over $10,000 grant going to classical music in one park. Like, oh, can't the classical music people find their way to do it? Somebody else wasn't happy about some other things, you know, that seemed frivolous or too elite to them. Is this a tension that comes up, or does the formula address this in any way?
Well, I think there's still a tremendous amount of discretion among the council person as to what the priorities are in their district. And, you know, that's the argument they made against abolishing these items, as Mayor de Blasio has called for. So it's really up to each individual council person. I know in Harlem, where I covered, there was a school that wanted to do a garden. They got money one year. The next year, they didn't get money to finish the project because they, you know, the council person said, hey, there are other issues that I need to address, and I gave you money last year. So I think sometimes that's how it shakes out. But, you know, it's a tough competition for this money. It's very limited, and there are lots of nonprofits operating that could use this money to do projects or pay staff.
So to wrap this up, having looked into this on your own and then taken a second look at things pointed out by our listeners who perused these 4,865 voluntary discretionary spending items from all the city council members, what's your conclusion? What's your headline about how city council members are distributing money when it's solely up to them?
Well, I think the good thing about this project and looking at some of the comments is that people have taken an interest in it. And I think, you know, now there's a really good opportunity because, you know, a little less than half of the council is going to begin participatory budgeting, which will, you know, allow them to have $1 million to dole out to different projects in the district. So, you know, for people who are upset that classical music got it instead of anti-poverty, you know, this is a chance to go to these meetings and kind of nominate, you know, different projects or issues, or areas that you think you'd like to see your tax dollars going towards.
Right. And I don't mean to say classical music versus anti-poverty per se, but maybe more intense community needs, you know, and everybody's got their their things that raise their eyebrows. But and the participatory budgeting is interesting because that's people actually getting to vote. There's a separate election day in the districts that do this where people get to vote on projects that are nominated. Right.
Yeah, I had a chance to observe it in Melissa Mark Viverito's district, and you know, it reminded me of like American Idol for tax dollars. You know, like people would nominate different subjects, they get voted up, voted down, and then you know, you had a list of finalists that kind of were voted on.
But then there are strengths and weaknesses with that system too, I think, because turnout in an election like that would tend to be so low that some interested group or other around a particular item could probably out-organize the others, and then they win. So is that an exercise in who has political power, or is it really an exercise in democracy?
Well, I think people were given the opportunity to vote. I know in East Harlem there was like a sort of concerted outreach. You know, there were council staffers out handing out flyers, going to different places to try to get people involved. But, yeah, obviously there are people who maybe have more time to be involved with this than others, you know, senior citizens, other people who may be retired have more time to be involved with it. So it is an attempt at being more democratic. How specifically democratic it is, it's, you know, it would include how many people choose to come out and participate.
Jeff Mays, political reporter for DNA Info. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Thanks.